Welcome to the TikTok Podcast. The clock is always ticking, so let's synchronize our watches and dive in. I'm your host, Callie Brigham, and I'm here to help you make time for what matters. Hey, friends.
Hey.
Welcome to...
She can't even help herself.
That's my part.
I just got so excited when I saw your intro and it looks so cool. And I'm just like, look at how grown up the whole thing is. Okay. Zip. There you go.
See, I knew this was going to happen. I knew this. I said, Dawn Barton. So I'm going to start us off. You're not going to say anything until I say, and here's Dawn Barton. Y'all. All right.
Okay.
Here we go. We don't edit the show, obviously, which is part of the fun. But Dawn, this is episode 40. Hello.
Hello. Am I allowed to talk now?
I know.
I know. I wanted to save us,
yeah.
But then it was also hard sitting back.
Yeah.
Because I wanted us to do our thing together.
Well, you're not a sit back kind of girl.
Not much. But can we just say 40 episodes? I don't even think I have 40 things to talk about, much less to do 40 podcasts around them.
Well, right? I hope you have something to talk about today.
We'll see.
Okay. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Yeah. 40 and fabulous. Like, let's go. So you guys, this is a Feature Friday bonus episode. I think you're already feeling the bonus part. What I was going to say, Dawn.
What I was going to say
is that I wanted to introduce everyone to the peanut butter to my jelly, the sunny to my Cher, the bacon to my eggs. You remember that?
I remember that.
I know.
Oh, that's been a long time.
It is. Yeah. We've had a lot of great life together.
Not a lie.
It did start off with you stalking me.
It did.
And legit, you guys. So you'll hear about that, I'm sure, in a second. But let me just say a couple things about you. So zip it. Dawn Barton, this is going to be good stuff. No, it's good. You are a fierce friend who tells you like it is. That's true. I realized as I was thinking about today's episode, I'm a big sister to a lot of people, but I've never had a big sister. And I thought you were like, if your big sister was your bestie, and your bestie was your big sister. I know, for real. I was like, Dawn Barton, thank you for being the best big sister a girl could ever want.
Oh, yeah. I hope that's not because the size of my butt's four times the size of your butt.
Not that kind of big sister. But listen, you are absolutely brilliant. Anyone that knows, brilliant, but always learning. See, you're not just like born brilliant, Dawn. You're like, well, that's all the brilliant you're going to get from me. You are always wanting to be better and looking and surrounding yourself with people like that. That's one of the things we've started doing, lunches, not just the two of us, although that would be epic, but we've started doing lunches with women that we want to learn from and that we want to be better with. So I love that you're brilliant and always seeking that. You're hysterically funny and you make me funnier.
I am funny. Yeah.
You're really funny.
That was hard to keep quiet over.
Okay. You can interject. See, most of the time I also tell my guests, I'm not going to do a lot of interjection so they can really hear you, but that everything is flying out the window today. This is so different. The bottom line, Dawn, is that we could not be more different and we couldn't be better together.
That is so true. 100%. Okay.
So here's your official introduction. Cause I said, what's your title? Tell me. So in true Dawn fashion, like most people have like one phrase or one word. Okay, this is Dawn. Dawn Barton, author, speaker, investor, joy enthusiast, mother, daughter, wife, caretaker, horse poop scooper, and dog wrangler. So please officially now you can talk. Welcome to the show.
When you ask for that, so often on the, they always want that kind of formal thing. And I'm like, that's not the reality. And honestly, the thing that should probably go at the end is author and speaker and those things, because everything else really trumps that these days.
That's true. You did miss that you're Aunt Dawn to my kids. and they love their Aunt Dawn for a variety of reasons, but this is how much they love you. 2 years ago, we were like, let's just kind of do staycation for spring break kids. You know, we've been traveling a lot. Let's just go. Guess where my kids wanted to go? And we did go for our staycation about 30 minutes down the road to Aunt Dawn's house.
For staycation. I love that. And I think you guys need to do that annually.
Yeah, I think
just
so.
Just 2 days. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So just, we used to be neighbors. We used to live really, we used to be literal neighbors. Then we lived about 15 minutes away. Now you moved out to the country. The country.
The country. The can.
Yeah. Canned home at Florida. Mm-hmm. You left me and moved away. But I think we've never been closer. And one of the things and reasons I invited you on a podcast about time management is that, again, we're so different in every way that we approach things. Yet you've been incredibly successful. You are successful in your professional life, in your personal life. And you do just, you do the things that God created you to do in the time that He has given you that is uniquely you. So I don't know, whatever we want to talk about, if you want to talk a little bit about who you are, a little bit of background, a little bit of your perspective of life, like, let's just talk.
Well, it's funny that you said that about the, we're so, so opposite. And when I think of how I've always been fascinated by how, I think rigid is such a harsh word, but just so how rigid you are with the schedule.
Controlled?
No, but discipline and focused in an amount of time. My schedule seems to go more on my hormone balance than it seems to go on what's on a schedule. Because if I don't feel like it, how could I possibly do it? Because I don't feel like it. Now, thankfully, by the grace of God, one of the things that makes me feel like something, doing something, is a deadline. So I am really good with a deadline. But you do not want to give me a task 6 months out. Number one, I won't remember it. You need to give it to me 3 days out and I'll knock it out of the park. But really bad on that kind of concentrated focus that you do so beautifully, I do so poorly. But I also think that because I am the way I am, it gives me a sense of creativity. It gives me, I do like that fire that when I, you know, I am often on an airplane going to a speaking engagement, writing a speech. I'm not bragging about that. That's not something to be proud of, but it does seem to just work for me at the time. And I work well that way. And I'm my best ideas, when I had the first book I wrote, I did not have a deadline. Because I didn't have publishers or anything like that at the time. The second book, I had a deadline. I had to do it in about 4 months. And I'm going to be honest, it did force me to get it done. But had I not been up against that, I could have gone, and I think every author would say this, gone back again. I could have done it better. I know that I could have done it better. So that's where you must cultivate a discipline, because that would be a perfect example of where that discipline would have been come in handy.
You know, a couple thoughts on that too is, with every strength, there's a weakness, right? Mm-hmm. So with your ability to hit a deadline hardcore, have probably that, like, the endorphin rush, right? Mm-hmm. Which also helps you to be on like a heightened level of get her done kind of stuff. With that obviously comes with maybe dropping a ball, but you can flip that around. With somebody who's so maybe task oriented and consistent, they might miss that piece of adrenaline. They might miss that boost, right? So like whenever I started this podcast 40 episodes ago, it was a couple of things. It was not about perfection. It was not about being like a perfect planner and a perfect way of doing things. The one other thing I want to say about that is you're the reason for a lot of things in my life. Let me just say, some things I've wanted to do, some things I haven't, I've resisted, but you said you have to do a mastermind. Remember, we went to lunch end of December. You said you have to do a mastermind. It's time. In my mastermind course that we're still in the middle of, that's been really amazing. We've been talking about You don't fight it. You flow with it. So if you spent your whole life, Dawn, saying, gosh, what's wrong with me? Like, I wish I wasn't like this. Like, you know, I'm broken, or she's so much better at this. You wouldn't look. Okay. I'm holding your two books right here. And I mean, you have so many accolades too. Like, God put that in you to be used for good. Not necessarily saying there isn't a time for a good schedule, but that's kind of what we're talking about. Like, we got to embrace the way that we were created, don't you think?
Yeah. And you know, it's so funny. This just came up. We used to talk about it a lot, you and I, because we used to use it when we worked together. For those of you who don't know, I used to be in Mary Kay Cosmetics. I don't know. So I've been out 6 years or something now. But Callie and I worked together. And when Callie was way ahead of me in the business as far as accomplishments and everything she had done. She'd been in years longer. She was just way, way ahead of me. And so I remember the insecurity I felt just on that alone, because we were at different levels, career levels. And you are a very, I don't know if you're just born this way, but you are an incredibly poised person. I've always joked that it's like you have chiffon that flows behind you, you know, when you walk, that just Callie has chiffon that blows behind her. And that poised thing that if those of you who have met her, listened to her, watched her, it is legit who she is. She is just that. I, on the other hand, feel like I'm always like pulling my panties out of my butt and like scratching something and picking my nose. I just feel like you're complete opposite. But when you put us together, it was the most powerful combination. And what I realized is that some of the women resonated with me, some of the women resonated with you, some, you know, we are both parts of one woman, you know, that you need all different types for things to be successful in the world to go around. That's why God gives us so many different giftings, right? And it isn't, you just have to find the strengths in what your giftings are. And after we did that, I really figured out, oh, like, I'm not half bad. I'm very different than Callie, but I'm pretty good at this. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And I think I remember back when I told you about this crazy idea. I mean, you've had some crazy ideas too. I'm holding the first one of the crazy ideas, yeah. that book that God told you to write. And we'll talk about the books too. But I said, I think I'm going to start a podcast, and I think I'm going to start on time management. And you just started laughing. You're like, well, I'll never be a guest on there. Like, I'll never. And I said, actually, you're going to be the perfect guest on there, because I want people to see a balance. I want people to see the purpose in collaboration. I want people to see, like, I need you just like you need me. I need you to say, hey, get dressed, we're going to lunch. Like, well, that's not on my schedule. But you know what? I need to go to lunch. I need to, if I don't have time, if I have not made time, if I've not made a priority to sometimes just say, I need to scrap that. I need to leave the chiffon at home. I need to come, you know, let's spill stuff at lunch. Let's do whatever. So we need each other in life. And that's something that you talk about a lot to women. And you talk about there's a deficit there. There's a deficit in what we think our value is. You talk about that a lot.
You're heading one direction in a conversation, but I actually want to get back to something, because as you're talking and I'm thinking about what makes you you, and by the way, you still bring chiffon to lunch, just in case you're wondering, anybody. She totally has chiffon on at lunch.
With like sparkles on it.
I think I told you this yesterday. I've had seasons in my life where it was a valley season. It was a really, really hard season. And it was a season, it was a valley season. And then I've had seasons in my life that have been mountaintop seasons. You know, they're just good seasons. But I've never had a season in my life that was mountaintop one day, valley the next. I feel like I'm on a horse that's, you know, trying to throw me all the time. And I said that because I'm literally looking out the window at a horse, so I can use the horse analogy. but I hate using the word rigid because it's such a negative connotation.
Structured.
But such a structured life. One of my superpowers is the ability to pivot quickly. And in this season, I've never needed to pivot more. I've never needed to be more flexible. I've never needed that. Okay. We're going that way. Okay. Got it. Here we go. We're going this way. And I think that having a relationship with someone like you and having that we both can see the value of both sides, just like you said, we have to have the both things because life isn't always work. I'm in a season that it's all to do with caretaking right now and parents and a teenager. And it's just so different. And gosh, I have so many things I could go down that rabbit hole talking about and then how quickly we lose ourselves and when we are trying to ride a horse that's trying to buck us off continually and how much we forget our value, how much we forget our giftings, how much we think that the world is just done with us, right? We just, in those seasons, in valley seasons, that we really question value.
So two things. Mm. One, for those that don't know what season you're talking about, mm-hmm. just share a little bit about what you mean. And then two, how do we get through the valley season? Because you know, this isn't your first valley time. How do we get through that? So just share what season you're in, however much you want to.
Yeah. So I'm in a season, we have a very unique living situation that we live on acreage with our teenage daughter, my husband and I, who's 17. And then my mother-in-law lives in the main house with us and next door, my parents live next door. But my mother has been really ill, up and down, up and down. And so is my father. My father's stage 4 cancer, but he's doing great, prostate cancer. And then my loving, wonderful, crazy mother-in-law that lives in the house with us is the healthiest of all and the oldest of all. But she's, we've had more than one naked run through the house. So let's just say that. There's other things that I won't go into, but that have made this a really challenging, hard season where it made everything that was career oriented, accolade building in my life come to a screeching halt. Like, and joyfully so, nor I didn't care about them. I didn't want to care about them. It puts things in all perspective. Now, for the great big question of how do you handle a valley season? I don't know that I handle them beautifully or with ease. I handle them clinging, crying, screaming, leg kicking to God. I don't think that my prayers to him are beautiful. I think they're more like, you have got to be kidding, right? Like you're not serious. But I have said it 1,000 times. I think I have one of the most joyful lives only because I've also had a life filled with tsunamis of pain. And it is only in the deepest, darkest depths of something can you recognize what the highest heights of joy look like. If you live a really even keel life, I always, as strange as that, feel a little bit sorry for the people that never have to go through the challenges of life. Because then you don't recognize what's great and you don't know when to fall. It is only, in my opinion, in the deepest of valleys that we are allowed to have an intimate closeness with God that is only found. It's a special time and it's only found in a valley season. And it is just this closeness with him. So if you never have those times, then you never experience that. So I would say first and foremost, getting through the valley seasons for me is faith. It's God. To me, God is joy. Joy is God. And the second is an understanding that we hold grief in one hand and joy in the other. So they aren't exclusive. We can have them at the same time. So being able to laugh and being around people that make me laugh is so critically important to me, which is how those lunches were birthed. Because it was a little bit of a lifeline for me in this I don't know if any of you have ever been in a caretaking season. It's not the sexiest season of life. There's not a lot of showering. There's not a lot of false lashes or lip gloss. It just, and you can easily lose oneself in it. Would I change anything? Absolutely not. But do I work fiercely hard to make sure that pieces of myself are still there and that joy is found with those I surround myself with? Absolutely.
I wrote down the sacred valley when I heard you say that. I was like, "There, it's a sacred valley."
Mm-hmm.
We can't live there our whole lives, right? We got to have God pull us out now and again. Mm-hmm. But there is something to be said for when we're there. Another thing I felt from you is your authenticity, which anyone that knows anything about you knows that that oozes out of you. And you have navigated and continue to navigate through these times with authenticity, which gives other people permission to also do the same thing. And I just want to thank you publicly for modeling that for me, because as part of my nature and who I am, there are certain things that I went through and have gone through that I now very publicly talk about that I would not have publicly talked about. And for me, one of them was my seasons of infertility and miscarriage. It was the darkest valley that I have, one of the darkest valleys that I've been in. And I kept it silent to myself. And I'm not saying everybody should do what you do, Dawn, but you showed me that there is purpose in the valley. There's purpose in the pain. And sometimes just shining a light on it not only heals you, but it affects other people. And I watched you do that through so many different seasons, including this one. And it's given me the courage and the desire to bring people along through their season too. And that's just one of the things I just want to say that you do so well, because you do it so real.
Thank you. That's sweet. I don't think any of us are meant to go through difficult things and keep silent about it. I don't think God's purpose was for us to go through it and then not talk about it. That doesn't mean that you have to start a podcast or you have to stand on stages, but it does mean you have to at least help one. You have to at least help one. You know, that I feel like we're forever having a hand behind us, pulling somebody through something, and a hand ahead of us, and somebody's pulling us through something. And that is His desire for us, that connection, that to be together. We are not supposed to be alone. We're supposed to be in community, and being in community is pulling one along and one pulling you along.
I love it. I love you.
I love you. And I said to you the other day, and I'm in the season where my mother's at the end of her life, and it's only, you know, this is, I'm not getting upset. It's totally in God's hands at this point. We have no idea, but you know, we know that we're at the end of a medical intervention. It's like at this point, it's all Him. And I was telling you the other day, I'm so glad I went through this, that I've gone through this at the level I have so that I can be there for you, because I just didn't know what this was like. I don't think we definitely don't talk about caretaking to the level that we should. And I think it's a beautiful, hard season. And I will write a book about it, but not yet. But we don't talk about it. We also don't talk about money. I think we women should talk about money. And
that's going to be another episode.
Yeah, that's a whole different episode. But I wish I had understood more. And maybe I wasn't listening. Maybe women were talking about it more and I just wasn't ready to hear the devastation of losing a parent, especially when there's been a healthy relationship. I think there's a devastation losing a parent, no matter the relationship. And I suspect it's harder if the relationship has been a really healthy, good one.
Well, we both cried over that one when you first said it, and it makes me very emotional this time too. And one of the things that I mean, this is like a cheesy segue, but your first book is like Laughing Through the Ugly Cry. And I love the story of, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, your mom was in the hospital. And so I was like, oh, let me come visit Mama Marlene. You were there, your sister Jody. And so I'm like, I'm going to come to the hospital. And, you know, what would your mom want? You're like, yeah, I think she just wants something to brighten up the room. I'm like, yeah, okay. So, and you wanted an apple. I was like, well, I can do that. Like, I was like, do you want smoothies or coffee or blah? No, an apple and something to brighten up. So I had an apple at home and I swing by Publix to get a balloon and they really didn't have any good get well balloons. Remember? They didn't really have any good, but it was like right before the Super Bowl. And so there was a balloon and it just said like party zone, party time. I was like, yeah, there we go. So like I show up to the hospital and it was so perfect. And we just all laughed and your mom loved it. And you know, that's part of it too. Like, that's part of don't be afraid to find the silly things, the laughter. Like, that's also part of the sacred valley is the laughter and the joy that's there too, don't you think?
Yeah, you know, we have a good friend, Addie, and Addie was saying the other day, she works a lot with families losing a loved one, they have lost a loved one, and she said emotions are so at the service that everything is so funny and so hard. And so that she said it's such a beautiful thing to behold and to watch because the laughter is so hard. You know, when families, have you ever been to a funeral and you just can't quit? I've so done my own grandmother's funeral. We did that. All of us just idiots, but it was so fun. And that's who my family is. And I hope none of that ever changes. I even talked to my, I had talked to mom about what she wanted her own funeral to look like. And she said, I don't care. I won't be there. Was her first thing. And then she said, I said, do you want people to dress in bright colors or dark? And she goes, well, I don't know. I look really good in black. Have them wear black, but it can be casual. And
black chiffon for me, you know, guys.
Yeah.
Black chiffon for me.
She wanted Cajun music. She said, I just want people to tell. I said, do you want it really happy? She goes, well, no, I want, she said, I want them to really mourn me too. I said, so you need like a half and half, right? Like they could tell funny stories, but they need to be crying a bunch too. She's like, yeah, exactly.
And then she's already telling you people that are not allowed to come.
She told me somebody who was not allowed to come. That's so funny. Which was hilarious because this person would have never come anyway. And oh, I was like, got it. Noted. He will not be welcome. So she'll probably be adding to that list. So y'all watch out.
Yeah, I was going to say. All right. So, I mean, when we were thinking about this podcast, I was like, what should we say? What should we say? Like, there's so many things. We can talk business like nobody's business. We can talk strategy. I mean, you've been my strategist. You've also been the person that's like, so don't be mad at me, but that graphic is not right. No, you've got to redo this. That's not good. Like, you're my person for that too, right? You just straight shoot me on that.
But the only reason I've been able to be that person, I'm interrupting you, I know, is because you cannot read the label from inside the bottle. I cannot do for myself what I'm doing for you because a person, even if you're the solopreneur, as they say, you must have an outside person because you cannot see what another person can see. And you must have somebody, number one, that you will listen to, number two, that you respect. You know, don't be asking Joe Blow down the street that doesn't even know how to work his iPhone if your social media looks good, right? So, and I've gone before you in this kind of thing. So we have such a respect for one another.
Yeah, we do. And we need each other in that way mm-hmm. as we need each other in so many other ways. So yeah, we were like, we could talk about that. We could talk about this. We could talk about that. And then right before we pressed record, we just prayed. And honestly, our prayer was that if just one woman feels encouraged, and a guy can feel encouraged too. We're not exclusive to that, but we know our audience and we know women are women are women. And we want you to feel encouraged today. So because you're my bestie and I can unapologetically promote you, tell everybody about your books that you've written. They are bestsellers, you guys. Yep. Tom Barton, bestselling author, who, by the way, does not like to read. But hey, that doesn't matter. Bestselling author, if you're watching on YouTube, I'm holding up her books. Of course, in the show notes, you're going to have links to everything Dawn. You're going to be able to connect with her. You do. You want to follow her on social, her porch ramblings. I mean, that's when you're going to see her pull her panties out of her butt. I'm not lying. I mean, am I lying?
Yeah, well, it's close up on the face. So it's more like picking my teeth, you know, food on my teeth. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
But
like, is that a booger in there? Craig, firing up the lawnmower right when you're
every time.
But tell everybody about your books, what they're about. They can find you at donbarton.com. That's in the show notes. They can follow you on social, and you do want to, trust me, you're going to laugh, you're going to cry. Okay. But tell everybody about those.
Oh, that's so funny. I'm embarrassed to say I haven't had to like tell somebody about my books, and nor did I ever with either book come up with the 10-second spiel. So I just want you to know, life can go on when you don't have the 10-second spiel about what your thing is. So Laughing Through the Ugly Cry, you know, was birthed out of a dream. God said, you're going to write a book. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm not. I don't even make lists and I don't read. So I'm totally not your girl. But when God calls you to something, you know, and we see it again and again and again throughout the, he doesn't call the qualified, which I am so evidence of, but so is everybody else in the Bible. He qualifies us as he calls us. And it was a beautiful story. I was number 7 sales director of Mary Kay Cosmetics at the time. I had a dream to write that book. And then I knew that he was calling me out of Mary Kay, which was killing me. I left Mary Kay. Everybody had thought I'd lost my ever-loving mind. And that book, it was a great God path, how it went. I sent it to a good girlfriend at the book proposal, which happens when you write a book. And I said, is this right? Am I doing it right? And she said, yeah, can I send it to my agent? So she sends it the next day to an agent, and in 24 hours, that agent signs me, which is a top literary agency out of New York. And then the book gets signed with HarperCollins, Thomas Nelson. And so it's this story that is never happens. People always want advice on them. Like, I could give you advice, but what happened is such a fluke. It just doesn't happen. And it became a bestseller. And then the book after, and it was a book that was written from taking hardships in my life. I have lost a child. I have been raped. I've had stage 3 triple negative breast cancer. I lost my sister. My mother had a ruptured brain aneurysm. Craig was an alcoholic. It's been 9 years sober now. Isn't that crazy? And praise God. And it just, if you were to look at my life, you would think, what did she do so wrong? It's like Job. I mean, it's like, what? But I would tell you, hands down, I have got one of the most joyful, amazing lives. And that's what the book is about, is that finding joy in the midst of the tsunamis of pain. So Southern tone, I call it Christian light, because I wanted to bring people to Jesus, you know? So that's the first book, Laughing Through the Ugly Cry. And
let me just interject and say, there's a really good looking centerfold in here as well. Oh, there it is. There's a real, I'm showing it on YouTube. Oh, right there. Oh, hello.
Oh, who's that? Is that Kelly? What?
Oh, hi, Kelly. You guys have to read this book. It is, you'll read it in like one setting. You'll find out about Lucky. You'll find out about, we don't get all the gifts. You'll find out about what certain friends did in certain seasons that allowed you to say like, that's just that friend that does that. Not every friend has to be everybody to you. And anyways, you're going to love it. All right. That's book number one. And then You weren't one and done.
Yeah, I thought I was one and done. Honestly, I remember telling Craig, I was like, I hope you enjoyed that, because I got nothing, buddy. And then I wrote that book, and I was waiting for it to come out. I was 50 years old, and this awful, horrid, no good season of life began, where I just thought, I am literally a racehorse that has been put out to pasture. I am too old. I am not relevant. I am invisible. And I was like, my number has been called. I'm just waiting to go up at this point. Like, he's done with me. So I didn't have any creative ideas for a book. It was just the standstill season of life where I was completely devoid of who I was. My identity was just foreign to me. And I had a raging pity party for a while, and no one attended, which is the saddest things about pity parties, because nobody comes and I throw really good ones. And I decided to go step by step into, all right, this is a new season of life. Who am I now? Who am I today? And what do I want for this next half of life? Because, you know, at 50 years old, I'm not dying tomorrow, God willing. So I looked at everything from, silly as it sounds, the colors I was wearing. Everything, I'm wearing black in this video, I get that. But at the time, I remember walking in my closet and thinking, everything is black and gray and white. What happened? You used to love color. You used to love the joy of brightness. What happened? And I looked at the music I listened to. I looked at perfumes. I was like, what do I like now? Not what I liked when I was in my 20s, you know, or I mean, my everything changes from then. We're not exactly the sharpest tool in the sheds in our 20s. Forgive me if you're in your 20s, but like I have so much is going to happen to you and you're going to get chin hairs and it's going to freak you out so much and so much is going to change. But it's because we are the best, seriously, the best we've ever been. Whatever your age is right now, you are the best you've ever been because you know more. You've experienced more, you've loved more, you've lost more, you have survived 100% of everything you've been through. So why would we ever get to a stage in life when we pull back? And that was the foundation of that entire book. Midlife Battle Cry.
Couple things. I remember when you took this cover photo off the dock. And some of your girlfriends, we were there and it was one take because you're not going to get back up. You're in a full dress, like jumping off the dock into the water. That was really fun.
It was a great shot. Ashley did a good job. And I have two shots like that. The first book has a shot like that, which was again, dropping off a dock. And that one as well.
And shout out to Ashley. I need to have her on the podcast. She's got an amazing organization, an amazing photographer. She did all of my branding photo shoots. So our friend Ashley, she did all my stuff too. But there's a woman that you talk about in here, Midlife Battle Cry. I got a shout out to Grandma Deedle.
She sure did a couple of times.
Shared some stories about Grandma Deedle, who in the publishing of the book was 99. And Dawn, in about a week from when this airs on March 28th, Grandma Deedle will turn 100 years old. And, she's not done yet either. She was on the podcast, episode 21. It's literally everyone's favorite episode. Dawn, I was just in Pizzazz, our favorite gift boutique here in town. And Courtney, the owner, yesterday, she said, oh, I just listened to Grandma Deedle's episode. It was my favorite. So this will be her new favorite, I'm sure.
Okay, so just to give Courtney a shout out, I was jumping off Courtney's dock in that Courtney's picture. Dock. Courtney, the owner of Pizzazz, who is the story. I know it's a small world, y'all.
Courtney, she's probably listening right now, taking her kids to school. Shout out to Courtney. If you're local, if you're local, go to Pizzazz. Dawn, this has been, I mean, anytime we get to talk and we talk all the time. Mm-hmm. Anytime we talk, I feel like my cup is filled up and I think that it's spilled out. I know that it spilled out to other people today. I know we did our job today, which was to encourage and to see women right where they are. Before we finish, I always have a gift for my podcast guests. It is a pretend gift, although you will get a thank you note in the mail, like a real one, a handwritten thank you note in the mail. You will. But I have a fake gift for you, and it's the gift of a bonus hour. So if you had an extra hour that you didn't have to account for out of any other hours of the day, what would you do with your bonus hour?
That's an easy one these days. I would just sit with mom on the porch. Yeah. It's easy. Easy, easy.
The beautiful thing about that question is when I thought about the question initially, I thought about it just on surface value. And the more I've been asking it, the more I realized then that's exactly what that person is going to go foster right after this. Mm. So more porch sitting with your mom.
Yeah.
And I'll bring the balloons.
Deal.
I'll bring the balloons.
She loves
Dawn, any last words for your family, your TikTok family that you have helped?
No, but I do want to say I'm so stinking proud of you. You know, I remember us, I've been your number one fan, honestly, for so long because you deliver such wisdom. You just do. And I love that I get a front row seat to that through most of my life. And I felt like it was just so important. You know, I was your biggest cheerleader for you doing this podcast and pushing you to do it because to be sharing it with everyone and then watching it to come together. And I pushed so hard on the mastermind stuff. I don't know if you'll keep doing it or not, but that you have so much. And I guess because I'm the recipient of, like, I'm kind of like the girl in the mastermind, I'm the recipient of all that. So I just feel like I push you and push you to share that with the world because you're so stinking good at what you do. So I'm so proud of you. And I want you to know that.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you too. And I can't wait for our next fancy luncheon, ladies who lunch.
I can't wait for our next podcast because I feel like I'm like, no, I have about 13,482 more things that we need to talk about.
See, when you thought I would not have 40 things to say on 40 podcasts, not true. We just got the pump priming, girl. Yeah. No, you'll be back. You have to be back. You'll be back for sure. Fan favorite. Let's go. All right. Thanks, Don Barton. Love you to pieces. Thanks, you guys, for listening. And as always, God bless you.
Thank you for joining me on the TikTok podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and leave a 5-star review. Your feedback fuels our mission to help you master your time. Set your alarm for our next episode, and until then, make every moment count.